And I was ready to preach after Cornerstone, and I thought, it can't get any better. I'll tell you, that was beautiful. And then that song was fantastic, and what a blessing. I was thinking while the ensemble was singing, all of you young people, and by young, I guess I'm thinking 20s all the way down. Well, you're in the midst of miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, these are great days we live in. These are great times. You are around amazing people. And you don't necessarily know it. You don't realize the greatness that is in this room. You don't realize people get up and sing about Jesus being their cornerstone. And they get up and sing about the secret place. And it's not just a song, it's life. And I don't want to embarrass anyone, but just right here in this little group gathered around this pulpit and down here on the altar here, you can't imagine the trials. You don't know the hurt. You don't know the pain. And when these folks are singing, they're singing about something that is real. Well, if you don't get anything, get the fact this is real. As they were singing, I thought behind me in the choir sits Kathy Morin every week. And I don't understand how she's gone through what she's gone through. I don't get it. I don't. I know him. That's the only thing I can understand. And I know you're a special lady. Now, see, that's greatness right there, folks. You know, this is greatness. And I don't want to embarrass you, Kathy. I really don't. We have single parents all over this room. And just that hurt alone. Somebody left them. Somebody deserted them. I don't understand that. But then they're rearing their kids to do right. And the devil hates it. And there is absolutely greatness. I think choir members get up and sing and they're going through trials you just can't imagine. And I know, you know, you just kind of sit there and you look and you think, oh, they look happy and they look like they're doing all right. But you got to understand something. The songs that are sung, they are the songs that give us strength. The verses we read, the messages I preach, it's what keeps me going. And I hope you don't miss the greatness. I hope you don't miss all the great things. This last week, the great things. I was thinking Brother Chase up here singing just a while ago. And boy, just 1 week, Brother Chase, what a difference, huh? Just 1 week. And it was Monday morning, very early he called me. And he was going through things he'd never thought about. And I thought about that. You know, he'd been through hurricanes and earthquakes. But he didn't have three little girls to take care of. And it's a whole different world. Boy, it's different when you're by yourself and, bless God, I can handle this. But then you have a wife and you have three little girls. And it's like, wow, it's a different world. But what a difference. We were in men's prayer time. Boy, I tell you what, we had some sermon material coming out in men's prayer meeting. And I think Mark started off with the load of the ice on the trees and how they were bowing down. And that weight on those trees and how he thought about, people's trials and the weight that they have on them. And then Dale Bowman, he goes on and talks about, oh, yeah, and he either bows or it breaks. And that's our lives. You know, we either bow or we break. And the message kind of goes along with it. I was going to try to rewrite a message while they were talking, but I knew I'd never get away with it without telling you where I got it. But the message I'm preaching tonight does go along with it because these are all good biblical principles. Isaiah chapter 40. And I guess I say all that because I think of the greatness of the hour. I think of being a young couple here tonight and just recognizing the greatness of the hour and how you've got years ahead of you. And I encourage you, love each other and love God together and walk with God. I think of young people here and, you know, get close to God and understand this isn't all. We don't just do this to do it. It's real. It is real in our lives. It is real. This, the ensemble sings, or somebody, the trio gets up and sings, and they talk about trusting in the Lord, and it's real, folks. It is what you need in your life, because someday you're going to be in that valley. Someday you're going to be the Robin Correa flying home from Ireland, wondering if she's going to get to see her grandmother alive. Ever again, and just all that's involved in that. And you're going to be the one going through that trial, and you're going to be the one that's hurting. You're going to be the one that doesn't know what to do. And just look around. I'm telling you, all over this room, there are people that are going through tough times, and they just keep going. And they're the ones that are encouraging you. They're the ones maybe you kind of snicker at, like, oh, well, look at them. They seem so happy and everything. I'll tell you what, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I want to encourage you tonight with these words: you don't have to faint. You don't have to faint. I don't know how many people have said, preacher, I'm at the end. I'm just about there. But you don't have to faint. And Isaiah 40, verse 28 is a familiar passage. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Boy, aren't you glad about that? I mean, we get wore out, absolutely exhausted, but God, He's not weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Talked about that on Wednesday night, when you lose your power. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You don't have to faint. You say, I'm about to faint, but you don't have to faint. I'm thinking tonight of Sarah Glover, who's so excited. Tomorrow she leaves for Papua New Guinea. To her, that's home. It's all she talks about, it's home. If you read her letter, she got her visa. It's in big, bold letters. That's why I've got to say it that way. I got my visa! That's how she wrote it. She's so excited about that. It's a long trip. When will you actually get there? Next Sunday night. So obviously she'll probably vacation, you know, all the way with her backpack. But Sarah, if nothing else tonight, I hope you'll think of these words and this message, because you'll be tired, as you have been, and there'll be plenty of things to be discouraged about. You'll miss home, but you don't have to faint. You never have to faint. None of us do. We don't have to. We don't have to faint. And I want to challenge you tonight with this passage and just this message to try to encourage you. Father, please bless the preaching tonight. Give us what we need. And I pray that no one here would faint. Lord, when we faint, we sin. When we faint, our homes are injured. When we faint, we hurt people. Lord, help us to realize we don't have to tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Many times when Brenda and I are at a hospital making visits, depending on the temperature, depending on the smells, depending on the circumstances, many times my wife looks at me and she just gives that look, and I know it's time to find her a chair because she's about to faint. I thought about this the other day. Dave and I were visiting Dan Pfeiffer, and Dan can be very descriptive of his condition and of what the doctors have done and all that, and Dan has no problem talking about it. Every now and then he'll get a word mixed up here and there, and it provides for a lot of good illustrations. But I was, Dave and I were sitting there talking to Dan, and I was looking over at Dave just to see his response, and Dan is getting graphic in his descriptions of things and everything, and I kept looking, and Janie had to leave, and so my car was in the way, and so Dave said, hey, Dad, do you need me to move the car? And I thought, that's kind of strange. She's not ready to leave yet. And I said, well, you don't need to yet. So Dan is here, and Dave is sitting here. And Dave is talking to Dan, and he's like this. And I could tell this is not going well. And finally, I could see, and he's looking all over the place, and you can see the eyes starting to do weird things. I said, "Dave, why don't you go move the car?" "Thanks, Dad. Yeah, I think I will." And he told me, he said, "Dad, everything was spinning. I mean, it was all starting to go. You know what I'm talking about? I get the little spots in my eyes. They start going all over the place, and I think, oh, this is exciting." And I remember one time, and I've told this story before, a fellow in our church had a son that, and the boy cut his eye real bad. And it was cut right here and right on that bone. And I mean, it was gashed way open. I mean, you could see everything. And I drove them to the hospital so that he could, get it fixed. And so I went in with him in the emergency room and everything. Doctor says, "Oh, we're going to have to stitch this up." And so I'm just sitting there and I know I'm better off away from those things. I don't even like to see my own blood. I'm glad it's there, but I don't want to see it. And so the doctor says, you know, the son was, I'm going to say he was 8 or 9 years old, and he was screaming, you know, and everything. And the doctor says, "Now," he says, you know, to the dad, he said, you hold him here. And, "Pastor, would you mind maybe holding him and holding his arms down?" I said, "Sure, I can handle that." And so there I am like this, and I'm looking right at the, while he's doing his thing. That was not a good thing. I mean, I had a real good view until it started to spin. Do you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know what I mean by it starting to... It's amazing how things can spin so fast and you're sitting, you're standing still. And sure enough, the doctor looked over at me, and I don't know what I looked... Probably I was white as a ghost, honestly. And he looked, he said, "Pastor, maybe you better go sit down. Put your head down real low between your knees. It'll be okay." And I said, "Yes, sir, I will. And, you know, I mean, everything, the room is moving and all that kind of stuff. And now, you know, some folks are prone to faint. But it's sad, a lot of folks faint spiritually. And this evening, I want you to understand, you say, "Preacher, I just don't know if I can go on. I'm starting to see those little spots spiritually, and the room is starting to spin spiritually, and my life seems to be kind of spinning out of control." But understand tonight, you don't have to faint. You don't have to faint. And I would encourage you tonight, please, whatever you do, realize you don't have to. You don't have to faint. This evening, it may look hard. You may be tired, but I want to encourage you tonight, you don't have to faint. Number one, God never faints. God never faints. Verse 28, it says this. It says that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. I mean, he never quits. He just keeps going. He never faints. He's never weary. He just keeps going. And understand that he is available to you and I. God never faints. All last week, when everything's going on, you think, "Boy, God must have been really busy with all the people losing power and all the problems and everything going on in the rest of the world. God must be awful busy," but he's not tired. He doesn't faint. He's always on the job, 24 hours a day, all the time, middle of the night. You talk to God, he's right there. He never faints. God never faints. Never does. You don't ever have to worry about that. You don't ever have to try to call on him and get a, you won't get a busy signal and you won't get a not home. He's always available for you and I. Number one, God never faints. Number two, we do faint. We do. We are flesh and we get weary, and that's right here in the scripture. In verse 30 it says, even the youths. I mean, I understand, you know, the older I get, the tougher things are. I said that this morning. You know, I'm more tired at the end of the day. It amazed me. I remember my dad, and he wasn't in his 50s when I remember this. But I remember Dad when we would sit and watch TV as a kid, and Dad he would be back in his chair, and he always sat like this. Had his arm propped down here, and he always sat like that. And my sister and I, literally, we kept real quiet because we knew it wouldn't be long watching TV. And we were watching shows like Andy Mayberry and the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, quality programming. But we would always be real, real quiet because it wouldn't be long. Dad would be sound asleep. And it was always our challenge to get Dad to fall asleep so we could stay up later. Amen. I mean, and it always worked. And I used to think as a kid, I used to say, how can Dad fall asleep during the Beverly Hillbillies? I mean, as a kid, I couldn't believe that my dad could ever fall asleep. I mean, he sometimes fell asleep during combat. How many of you remember combat? All right, a few Christians here. I remember one dad even would fall asleep during Bonanza. It's hard to believe. Yeah, Tim can't believe it. But it was always like this. Always. Always like this. And we'd watch his eye. We'd turn and you know, each one of us would take turns because we were always sitting right in front of the TV. And we'd always turn and there'd be dad. And pretty soon. And he just always had it positioned just right. I mean, when he'd wake up, he'd have a dot here and a dot here. Always. I remember that so well. And it wasn't long. And I used to think, how can anybody be so tired? Oh my. Now I understand. I understand. But I'm not talking about in the evening. I'm talking about the middle of the day sometimes. It's like, whoa. You know? We do faint. It says even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. We'd think they'd be the strong ones, right? Everybody. Every person. You know, we're prone to faint. What causes us to faint? Well, one thing is being weary. It says that. It says, even the young, and the young men shall fall, but it says the youth shall faint and be weary. We just get tired. You know, you ever wonder why you're so tired? Even when you're doing right. You ever wonder? I mean, I understand that when we sin, it wears us out. It'll make you much more tired than doing right ever did. But you know what? We're just dust. We're human beings, and we do get tired. God made us to get tired. God made it so that you could go to bed at night. Amen? And or whenever you happen to go to bed, and get rest and get recharged. But God also spiritually wants us to get recharged too. That's why we go to church. That's why we have a Wednesday night service, to get our batteries charged. Amen? And literally, we faint because sometimes we're just weary. We faint because of sin, our own sinfulness, our failures, where, you know, the devil wants us to be so discouraged we just give up. Well, you're going to sin anyway. Isn't that what Paul was talking about in Romans 7? He was so frustrated with the fact that, you know, I still sin. I don't understand that. I have Christians many times say to me, "And I don't, why am I doing these things? Why do I sin?" Okay, here's the thing. Don't faint, though. Okay, don't just give up. Just keep confessing, getting right with God, and going on and doing right. Sin, many times, will cause us to faint. The devil will discourage us. The devil will convince you you're a failure. And the best thing in the world you can do when you mess up is start over. Amen. Just start over. This room is full of failures here. Some of my heroes that were up here that I was talking about in the ensemble, they failed too. There's those in the choir, they failed too. This preacher has failed. But listen to me, the difference between being a failure and being a success is you got to just get up and go on. And you have to do it, folks. You've got to do it. Young people, listen to me. You're looking at folks that have failed. All over here, you're looking at a pastor and assistants and teachers, and you're looking at deacons, and you're looking at Sunday school teachers, you're looking at choir members and folks all over here that are serving God here, and they failed at one time or another, but they did not faint. They got up. Amen. And they kept going. And that's what you have to do. You have to start over. Tell the devil, "I know that I blew it, but I'm not going to listen to you anymore. And I'm going to go on." You don't have to faint, though. You don't have to faint. Fear causes us to faint often. You know, that shock factor. I always kid my wife, you know, people say, if I saw somebody break into my house, I'd faint. And that'd do a lot of good. But my wife would be totally the opposite. The crook would end up fainting because she does the strangest things don't ever scare my wife, seriously. I mean, if you do, have a camera ready because she's hilarious. I mean, she gets into some of the funniest contortions. I mean, I just walk around the corner or something sometimes, and she'll go, "Ah!" You know, like, and it's like, and it scares me. But sometimes, you know, when you're shocked about things, and there's a fearfulness, sometimes you feel faint. I'll be honest with you. Every day I read the newspaper, there's a shock in there. Every day, I you know, the news on the internet, it's just amazing to watch some of the things that are going on and the foolishness of people. It just amazes me. Every new policy that I see in reference to us going farther and farther in debt as a nation, it's like a shock. I think, okay, who is going to actually pay this debt off? Who is? I mean, honestly, I think about those little babies in the nursery. Are they going to have to pay that off? It's going to go deeper than that. And it's just such a shock. You say, but preacher, that's how I feel. It's just everything's going against, and it's just a shock to me, all that's going on. And listen to me, you don't have to faint, though. You don't have to faint. Somebody you look up to fails. You don't have to faint. People do fail. People do fail. Whatever you do. I don't know how many folks have looked up to somebody and they messed up. And pretty soon they're out of church. Pretty soon they quit doing what they were doing. Well, why'd you quit? Well, somebody let me down. You don't have to faint. You need to keep going. What's another reason we faint? Well, the battle sometimes causes us to faint. Gideon, when he was going after the Midianites, the Bible says clearly they were faint, yet pursuing. They were tired. They wanted to quit. They were faint. I mean, they said, "We're done. We're out. But they kept going, and they fought, and they won. Do you ever get tired of the fight? I get tired of the fight. I'll be honest with you. I'm the guy that you know. I remember years ago. I looked for fights. I don't look for fights anymore. I'm just tired of fights. I'm serious. I I'm tired of fighting the devil. He cheats. He's dirty. He's nasty. It hurts. Are you listening? Oh, I'll tell you. But that battle still rages, folks. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may stand. Yeah, the battle. The battle is going to go on, and I plan to fight the battle. I'm not going to faint. If you faint, you surrender. Yeah. It's my battle until I get to heaven. The war's not over yet. You got to keep fighting. Yeah, but this temptation. Yeah, just keep fighting. Don't faint. Whatever you do, you don't have to faint. And then there's always the lack of trust. Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah, I had believed to see. He didn't say he saw the goodness of the Lord. He said, I believed to see the goodness. I trusted that it would be. I trusted that the ice would melt. Amen. I trusted that the lights would come on. I didn't see the lights come on. I flipped all the switches, but they didn't work. But I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. You know, when you start to feel faint, you might want to check if you're really trusting God or not. You might want to check and find out if you're looking at everything around you instead of looking to Him. You might want to check out if you see the waves and you feel the wind blowing and the lightning and the thunder and instead of looking at Jesus. Yeah, lack of trust will cause us to be faint. Believe He's good. Know He's good. Know all things work together for good. Trust Him. I don't know how many. Honestly, you notice blank seats, empty seats. I guess they're blank. Empty seats all over the place. This place should be full of Berean people. So many fainted. So many fainted. They didn't. They could not see the goodness of God. They couldn't believe God's good. So I'm out of here. I'm not going to go to church. Why would I go to church? Don't faint. You don't have to faint. God is always good. God is going to work it out. As I preached this morning with Job, double. Amen. Lack of trust. I'll tell you another thing that'll cause us to faint, and that's lack of food. Amen. You ever say, I'm so hungry I could faint? If you did faint from hunger, you'd probably wake up from your guts growling. Amen. But I'll tell you this, you don't have to faint from that because the spiritual fainting is what I'm talking about, and you just need to get in your Bible and read it. and get on your knees and pray. And God will feed you. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And God says, blessed, happy. It's a good thing to hunger. You say, I just am not being fed. I'm not. Have you ever thought that maybe you're too full of junk? That's the only time we don't want to eat anymore. God has a lot to feed. He's got plenty to feed us. Amen. He has more to feed than we even want. But the problem is we got to get rid of the potato chips of the world, the Doritos of the world. I'm naming things I like, but I know they're not good for me. I'm trying to convince myself. We've got the candy bars of the world, amen, the Snickers of the world, the Butterfingers of the world. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Amen.
The hot fudge sundaes of the world. Ah, wow. But that's the only reason we don't want the righteousness of God, because we're so full of the world. You know, seriously, you say, I'm about ready to faint. I'm about to quit. I'm about to give up. I'm about to lay down my Bible. Well, try this. Lay down your cell phone first. Lay down your computer first. Lay down your chat room first. Lay down your TV shows first. Because the problem is, God's wanting to fill you up with something good that'll really fill your spirit and fire you up for God. But the problem is, you're too full of junk. Amen. It's very, very possible that you might need something to clean you out of all that junk. Maybe some castor oil from the Word of God. Spiritually speaking. You know why? Because God wants to put something in you that'll keep you from fainting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You say, yeah, but nothing seems to work. Everything seems to be against me. You don't have to faint. Number one, God never faints. Number two, we do faint. Number three, boy, don't miss this. Please don't miss this. We miss out when we faint. We miss out when we faint. A very, very simple illustration. I mean, if you were to faint right now, you'd miss the rest of the service. Why? Because you'd be passed out. We miss out when we faint. Look, if you will, at Galatians 6, 9. Keep your place in Isaiah there, but Galatians 6 and verse 9. Here's a good verse about this. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap. We shall reap if we faint not. I'll tell you this, fainters don't reap. You faint in your home, and divorce can take place. You faint in your job, and you can be unemployed. You don't reap. You faint in education, and you don't graduate. How sad that anyone would not graduate from high school. How sad that someone would begin college, and they wouldn't finish college. Just because they faint. You don't have to faint. Now, I'm not saying God may call you to do something different. I'm just saying, to faint. You know, well, I don't like math. Well, tough. It's part of life. You know, don't faint. Just keep going. I don't know how many people have not graduated from high school because they didn't like English. And last I heard, that is our language. I know that's changing in some parts of the country, but I'm just saying, You're not gonna reap. Yeah. You faint in soul winning and people go to hell. Right. You faint in the bus ministry and little kids never hear the gospel. I stand here, I look at Brittany and Shaquille, who I am so proud of. And again, I don't want to embarrass people. I'd feel so bad if either of them turned red. But honestly, I'm so proud of these girls. But I'm more proud as I think about a bus worker and bus workers and Sunday school teachers and people all over this room that had a part and didn't give up. They're worth it. But you know, that bus captain said, well, it just can't be done. But it can be done. It can be done. But I'll tell you what, it won't be done if you faint. Sunday school teacher, I know that's a tough kid. I know. They're such a pain. I remember when Brittany was a pain. Nah. Oh, go on. Yeah, you like it, don't you, Kayla? You like it when I get after Brittany. But I'm going to tell you something. They're worth it. They're all worth it. Every little bus kid, every little Wednesday night bus kid, they're worth it. It's worth everything you do, everything that goes into it. It's worth every bit of it. But you know what? We won't reap if we faint. That battle against sin in your life, you're so close to victory. But you're not going to reap if you quit. You can't reap. That bad habit, you're about to overcome it. But I'm telling you, you're not going to reap if you faint. Imagine a farmer. He works all spring. He plants his crops. I mean, he tills up the ground, gets all the weeds and gets the ground all prepared and everything. He plants the seed and works real hard. And all summer long, he takes care of it, makes sure everything's right and everything. And now it's harvest time and he faints. And the crop just rots out on the ground. How sad. That's the way so many lives are. That's the way marriages are. I'm amazed how many divorces are taking place after 25 years of marriage. I don't even understand it. I don't get it. I honestly do not get it. But it's because somebody faints. And you don't reap. Wow. You wanted to reap. Somewhere along the line, you planned to reap. I don't know of any child that hadn't sat and they watched the seniors come across and get their diploma and they're excited because someday they're going to. Or they, when they were in kindergarten, they came and they got their diploma and they thought, wow, one of these days I'm going to get one of those big people diplomas. And they're all excited about it. But then all of a sudden, what happens in your life that causes you to say, I'm not going to finish? I don't get it. I'll tell you, it's just you faint. But you don't have to faint. You don't have to faint. I think students, listen, just a few months left. Some of you are going to throw away the whole year. You're definitely going to ruin a whole semester. Some of you, and it's no big deal to you. And I'm telling you, you don't have to faint. What you need to do is you need to let God empower you to finish the job and do the job you're supposed to do. You just have to keep going. You're so close to reaping. You need to keep going. Don't faint praying for your family. Don't give up praying for a coworker. Don't faint witnessing to that loved one. Whatever you do, you're almost there. You almost have that victory. You've almost conquered that sin. You've almost overcome that bad habit. You don't have to faint. Someone said this, courage is not in having the strength to go on, but in going on when you don't have the strength. It's a good quote. You get tired, you get frustrated, but whatever you do, understand, you don't have to faint. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Amen. It's a ministry, he says. As we've received mercy, we faint not. I think what he's saying there is, why don't you encourage others not to faint? God's helped you. God's given you mercy. God's blessed you. Well, we need to encourage one another. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because we miss out when we faint. Many, many times I think about what all is lost because somebody quits. Somebody faints. Somebody gives up. I think of what didn't happen. We all watched Sarah give her presentation, and it was like, I mean, this is home. And I know some of you are sitting there going, eh. But then you saw those little children. And all of a sudden now, oh yeah. Yeah. And if people don't go there, you ever think where our missionaries are? What if no one went? What if no one went? Those little kids are singing in their native languages, songs about Jesus. They don't even hear about Jesus. If no one goes, they don't have a clue. Why wouldn't somebody go? Well, because they went on deputation and then they fainted. That's why. Because it was tough and they fainted. Because they found out they needed a backpack. Could I have some nice new luggage? No, you're going to get a backpack. Luggage would deteriorate. And besides, the wheels don't work on dirt. Oh. We miss out when we faint. You miss out. Others miss out. Number one, I said, God never faints. Number two, we do faint. Number three, we miss out when we faint. Number four, we need God's help. Verse 29, He giveth power to the faint. Oh, He'll give you power. Preached about it Wednesday night. To him that have no might, He increases strength. Yeah, we need His help. They that wait upon the Lord, verse 31, shall renew their strength. Renewed strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You don't have to faint. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't faint praying. Pray instead of fainting. And yet, so many faint. I love the story. The little boy playing baseball, and they were in the first inning. And the other team was ahead 183-0. Somebody said, the little boy said, man, he said, son, he said, you guys are in big trouble. He said, you're down 183-0. You think you might want to quit? The boy said, no way, sir. He said, we haven't been up to bat yet. Amen. It's sad that we are in an age of people quitting, fainting. Just so sad. So sad. It is the easy way out. It really is. I want you to understand, you don't have to. Nobody in this room has to faint. Oh, you'll have folks say, I understand. It's hard. Life's tough. And I might even tell you, you know, I know times are tough. I know things are hard. I know. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have to. God has power to give you. God has jumper cables. He wants to hook up to you. God wants to charge your battery. I preached on losing power on Wednesday night, and Tim reminded me of, I think that was you, wasn't that you? John Adams' message about the battery. Remember that? That he had written right before he died, went to heaven, and I tried to rewrite it and preach it for him, and oh my, I'd forgotten about that. But, you know, get your battery charged, amen. Oh yeah, it's a lot easier to. Yeah, but you don't know. You haven't had your battery charged. Don't give me this stuff about it being a lot easier. Don't give me this stuff about it being a lot more. Well, this sounds more appealing because I got news for you. Reaping is more appealing. Amen. Reaping is far better than laying in bed doing nothing. Don't faint because you don't have to faint. Let God give you that power that He says He will. Let Him increase your strength. Let Him renew your strength. And then mount up with wings as eagles. Because you can. Because every one of us can. It is not a day of fainting. It's a day of victory. And we need to claim the victory. Young people, claim the victory that God has for you. Whatever you do, you don't have to faint. Let's bow our heads, please.